worship you, Lord, with all of my heart. Boldly approach your throne, grateful for all you've done. I come to worship you, Lord, with all of my heart. Praise the Lord.
You like to boot up or turn to Psalm 119. We're going to read Psalm 119 and verse 105, but keep your finger in the Bible there. We're thinking on a series of His Word or Your Word, Lord. Because the Bible says in Psalm 138 and verse 2 that above all things you've exalted your name and your word. We've been thinking about his name before the summer holidays kicked in, and now we're thinking about the power and the reason why the Lord God would want to exalt above all things his word, and how that might help us in life. In Psalm 119 and verse 105, a very famous verse in the Bible says this. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." Your word, O Lord, is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. And this morning I'm wanting to think about what it is for his word to be a lamp to my feet. And if I've given it a title this morning, then it would be low-level lighting, but the upper hand. Who likes to have the upper hand? Doesn't matter what you're up to, whether you're in a business deal, whether you're in a social setting, you know, whether you're even playing and mucking about with your family, you maybe like to have the upper hand. And how can the Word of God help us in life to have the upper hand? Well, it helps us in life to have the upper hand because, number one, it's low-level lighting. Don't know if you've ever been in a plane flight, and you will have before the plane, as it's maybe beginning to taxi towards the runway, you'll have the air hosts or the air stewards standing in front of you, and they will run through the procedures. They will tell you that there's exits here and here and there and there. They will put the little life vest on. They will show you the little handout they give you that tells you all the steps, and they'll show how you can maybe blow into the toggle and how there's a light and things like that there. But the other thing that they will do, they will show you that on the plane that there is a low-level lighting. What do? They show you there's low-level lighting. Not really sure what how good that's going to do you when it comes to it, but maybe it'll give you some comfort as you're heading towards the exits. And where are the exits? They're here and here and they're here and here. Well, actually, in our church, they're there and there and they're up there. Yeah, thank you. We'll be coming round with tea and coffee in a minute. But they want to give you low-level lighting. They want to say, in the event of an emergency, if you need to know where to go and it's all dark and it's all black and you can't see and you're not sure, we want to show you where you're to go. Even in buildings, public buildings, there will be emergency lighting. We've got some that's, you know, illuminated, even though it's nice and bright, you know, both there and up there. You know, also the treads on the stairs, if it's dark, they'll begin to shine and illuminate because, you know, the local council said you've got to have that on your stairs so that in the event of emergency, people know where to go, what to do. And I think the Word of God wants to help us to know what to do and where to go. Yes. Do you think that might help you in life? Yes. I'm sure it will help you in life. You know, this is low-level lighting, but the Lord wants to give us the upper hand. Now, he wants to say, the Scripture said, "Your word is a lamp to my feet." It's not as though he straps a torch to his sandals. It's not like illuminated big toe that wants to just, you know, floodlit what's immediately in front of them. But the Lord God Almighty wants to help you watch your step in life. How many heartaches, how many difficulties, how many troubles in our life and perhaps in our backstory, or maybe our not too distant backstory, might have been avoided if we had heeded God's word to watch our step. Last week we were thinking about, you know, avoiding potholes. And if you're driving at night and those potholes are there in the road, then you need some light and illumination to help you to avoid them. And his word is a lamp to our feet. He wants to help you watch your step. He wants to help you watch the step of your thoughts, the step of your behavior, the step of your words, the step of your actions, the step of your relationships, the step of your worship, the step of your discipleship, the step of your witness, the step of your testimony, the step of your ministry, but most importantly, your step of your loving of the Lord God Almighty. Yeah. The step of your relationship with Father God. The Lord wants to help us through lighting up, giving you revelation, Bible word revelation or illumination, throwing his divine glory and light onto the situations, the very practical and real situations of our life with where we're at and where we need to be in the next step of his unfolding plan and purpose for our life. In Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." It actually sums up the verses before of verses 97 to 104, and 97 to 104 help us to frame out, to flesh out, and to be real in ways where we can know what it is to have His word that is greater and higher and above all things, exalted above all things, how we can have His word illuminating the feet, or where our feet are about to go in the pathway of life. So let's read verses 97 to verse 104. See, I told you to stick your finger in your Bible or put it back on. Verse 97 says this: "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies." Can I hear an amen? He wants to give you the upper hand, for they are ever with me. "I have more insight than all my teachers." He wants to give you the upper hand, for I meditate in your statutes. "I have more understanding than the elders." He wants to give you the upper hand. Amen. "I obey your precepts." Only the elders aren't going, amen. They mean older people rather than, you know, the elders of the town. "For I obey your precepts. For I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The psalmist wants to declare that his commands make me. He wants to say, your commands make me. Your commands give me the upper hand in life. If somebody was to come up to you in the street and would say, "Would you like to be wiser than your enemies? Wiser than the teachers? Wiser than the elders? Want to give you more insight, more understanding, to show you a way to circumnavigate some of those situations that you don't know how to cope with?" That wants to give you that upper hand, so that when somebody comes who is a challenge to you, that you're going to be able to deal with them, that you're going to be able to help overcome them. Wouldn't you want to know what that is? If somebody comes and says, "I want to give you the upper hand, I want to show you how you can overcome, how you can be different, how you can make things different," you might want to say, "Tell me more." Do you want to know how to get the upper hand? Well, thank you, church. I'm going to tell you anyway. Would you like to know how to get the upper hand? That was actually a cue for you to say, "Tell me more." I need to get some signs kind of made up. Would you like to know how to get the upper hand? Yeah. Oh, thank you. I'm glad you're with me. We'll edit some of that out during... No, we won't. What the Lord wants to show us and tell us how to get the upper hand through His word. Now, it doesn't make us feel as though we've got some kind of... out of jail card, as though we're playing some kind of monopoly of life. You know, in the board game Monopoly, if you land on a square, you maybe get one of those out of jail cards, which means if you got on that particular square that says "go to jail, do not pass go, do not collect £200 that's there on the board game Monopoly, you could put your get out of jail card and you didn't have to do that, you didn't need to give the £200, and you were still in the game. Now, getting the upper hand with the Lord doesn't mean that you automatically get a get out of jail card. Because we need to live according to His ways. There's a reason that when He was tempted, that King Jesus said, and you know, when He was tempted by the devil in Luke, you know, when He said, "It is written." He knew the word of God, He spoke the word of God, but I want to tell you, He lived the word of God. I mean, He was the word of God become flesh. But in the same way as He modeled in His humanity, yet fully divine, yet fully human, in His humanity, that He modeled what it was to be able to overcome temptation, overcome difficulties, overcome an enemy of His soul, not just physically, that He was able to deal with them, He was able to help in that overcoming, He was able to get the upper hand in the situation by declaring, "It is written," and then quoting scripture. But a scripture that's real and lived out of the relationship that He had with his Father. Here's how. Number one, the scripture says here in Psalm 119, we need to love His law. Number two, we need to think about it throughout our day. And number three, we need to live and apply its reality into our everyday situations. The crisis moments as well as just the ordinary day-to-day moments. Into those moments where we feel as though we're being attacked. Into those moments where there's a learning opportunity. Into those moments when it's just life experiences that are happening. We need to build it in the framework and in the light of His Word into our life. We need to love His law. We need to give it priority. We need to give it place. We need to think about it throughout our day. The Bible word for that is meditate. Doesn't mean we need to sit cross-legged and try and go om. That will just give you a sore throat and stiff legs, you know, if you're going to do that. What you really need to do is just, you know, I'm going to think about God's word. Throughout the day, I'm going to remind myself of it. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to speak it out. I'm going to think, what does this mean? How can I apply it into my life? Rather than just being something that's in a book or words that I'm declaring, I want to think, well, what difference could that make in my life and my situation? I'm going to meditate on it. Don't need to, said before, you don't need to read 3 or 4 passages or chapters of the Bible every day. That doesn't make you more spiritual. It just means you're a better reader. What you do need to do is to be able to maybe even just read one verse or a couple of verses and then think about what God difference will this make to my life? What does this mean I should do, and what does this mean that I maybe shouldn't do? Because it's not going to be helpful to me. Right at the start of Psalm 119, the psalmist writes, and he says in verses 1 and 2, "Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep His statutes and seek Him with all of their heart." Now, I did do counting up to 2 when I was in school back in Greenock, you know, and I can count 2 blessed. So that's a double portion of blessing. And we all love the blessing of God, don't we? But there's a way to receive the blessing of God. There's a way to walk in the blessing of God. And He wants to show us, He wants to light the path so that we can walk in that blessing. And that's about loving His ways, about walking according to His laws, about keeping His statutes and seeking Him with all of His heart. How are you doing, church? Are we there yet? Maybe yes, maybe no, but maybe we're on the journey. And that's good. And we're maybe not as close to Him as we'd like to be, but we're not as far away from Him as we were yesterday. And the good news is that He's only a prayer away. And the good news is that the more time that you spend just dwelling and thinking about His Word, then the more real that the Lord becomes in your life and in your situations. He wants to do it, but what about you for your life? You see, there's definitely an I factor here, not an X factor, an I factor. Because He, the Lord, wants to do it in our life, but we've got a role and responsibility to say yes to His ways. If you were to read through those verses again from 97 to 104, let me help you and do it. I'm going to cut out some bits there just to emphasize some other. In verse 97, it says, "I love your law. I meditate on it." Verse 99 says, "I have more insight. I meditate in your statutes." Verse 100, "I have more understanding. I obey your precepts." Verse 101, "I have kept my feet from every evil path. I might obey your word." Verse 102, "I have not departed from your laws." Verse 104, "I gain understanding from your precepts. I hate every wrong path." Just like in Parliament, the ayes have it. Can you see what the Lord might be wanting to say to us? "Here's everything that I've got for you. In fact, scripturally, here's the way, walk in it. But you need to move from here of your ways to coming over here to His ways. My ways, God's ways. My ways, broad road, leads to destruction. Best ideas will crash and burn at some point. His ways, narrow road, narrow path, leads to eternal life, a highway of holiness the Bible speaks about, but a way where we know His plan, His purpose, His will for our life." Church, can we realize, can we have that wake-up call, can we have that number one priority, or that moment that says, it's not about just me sitting back and saying, "Okay, God, I want to know your blessings, but things are going to remain the same." We're saying, "Lord, I want to know your blessings, what needs to happen? What might I need to change? How can I come into alignment with your word? How can I live my life?" And I've said it before, we've been thinking about, live my life under your word, under the governance and under the guidance of your word. And not just an empty book, but out of that heart relationship. I can't emphasize that enough. starts with a revelation of God as our Heavenly Father who loves us, who has made a way for us, even though we're sinners, to come close to Him. Because the Bible says that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took the initiative so that we might be pardoned, we might be wrong. Will we run with His ways? Here's a man that knows that what he pours into his life in times of peace will come out in times of conflict, in times of false teaching, and in times of unrighteous decisions. Here's a man who knows I'm going to focus on the principles of the Word that is going to help me to fight and is going to help me to overcome the problems of the world. Let me say that again. He knows that what he pours into his life in times of peace is going to come out in times of conflict, false teaching, and unrighteous decisions. Here's a man who's going to decide, it says, I'm going to focus on the principles of the Word that is going to help me fight and overcome the problems of the world. The Apostle Paul wrote to his son in the faith, and his son Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and in verse 15 he says this, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Scripture shows us the way of salvation. The way makes us wise for salvation, Paul writes, through faith in Jesus Christ. He goes on to say that all Scripture is so important and so good for every area of our life to help us come into alignment with God's Word and God's will and God's ways, which is God's best. So that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Is there any men or women of God in the house today who want to be better at carrying His kingdom, at ministering to the lost, at knowing the blessing and the favor and the glory of God being distilled into our life, but being illuminated and shone and experienced through our lives and through our situations? So we apply the Word. The Bible speaks elsewhere of the washing of the Word, as though the Word washes us clean. Almost like the tide coming in and coming out, just, you know, dealing with some of the stuff that might want to stick on us from the world, that might want to stop us from being full on for Jesus. Here is a man back, whether it's Timothy, whether it's Paul, whether it's back in the Psalms, who stockpiles kingdom truth, or to use the buzzword that's been in the last week and a half, turbocharges preparations. He turbocharges his life and his stockpile of the things of God through reading the Word of God, through remembering the Word of God, through obeying the Word of God, through meditating on the Word of God, through applying the Word of God into his life and into his situation. In fact, in verse 101, he says, I'm going to keep off evil paths. What a prayer and what a declaration for all of us to make. There's so many evil paths out there. And often we know when we put our big toe on them, don't we? It's called temptation. It's called that tug and that pull of that old habit, that old behavior, that old friendship group, that old, you know, that old man that wants to pull you back to a way that's not going to be glorifying God. And we know when we're in danger of no longer being on the lit and the illuminated path that His Word wants to guide us in and put it on there. The psalmist says he hates every wrong path. Means I hate you, wrong path, because you're going to take me away from the Word of God. You're going to lead me in darkness. You're going to stop me from knowing God's Word. I don't want anything to do with you, evil path. That would be a good declaration to pray over our life. Maybe over some relationships, some situations, some circumstances and stuff like that, some temptations, some behavior stuff that's there. To recognize it's an evil path. Because it wants to tell you, the evil path wants to tell you it's your friend. It's a good path. It's going to lead you to a time of whatever, but you know it's not going to help you. It might destroy you, might even kill you, because it's a path from the pit of hell. It's strong words that he uses, isn't it? I hate every wrong path, he says there in verse 104. And in verse 101, he says, I've kept my feet from every evil path. He understands that anything that's not God's way is evil. And it's not going to help him in the things of life. Strong words, but positive Christian planning and preparation for his life. The Puritan author of Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan, his famous quote was in the front of his Bible. He said, "This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book." And it's so true. You know, if we would follow his ways, if we would get stuck into the Word of God, if we would obey his precepts, if we would meditate on his Word, his statutes, his law, it will stop our feet from falling. It will stop us from getting hurt. It will stop us feeling as though our relationship with God has somehow been fractured, that he's distant, or we're distant from him. You know, it will keep us close, keep us enjoying his goodness, his love, his blessing, his plan, his purpose for our life. What's not to love about that? Except sometimes we choose to love the evil path more than the path where the Word of God's shining on. Here's a man who joins the dots. We're amongst friends, so you can confess. Do you like a wee join the dot every so often? When we were on holiday in the restaurants, you know, I would still get some of the kids' menus that would come just in case, you know, if it was there. And on it would be a wee fun pack, and there would be little quizzes, and there would always be a wee join the dot, and it would be, oh, are you going to do that? You know, come on, we'll do that one first. He joins the dots, verse 99, in the second part of it, he says, "For your testimonies are my meditation." He sits down and he begins to think. When I heard the Word of God, when I applied the Word of God, when I lived the Word of God, this happened, praise the Lord. And then he's thinking of another situation. He's like, I heard the Word of God, I applied the Word of God, I lived the Word of God, and this happened, I'm going to praise the Lord. And then he's sitting and he's meditating the Word of God some more, and he's saying, I heard the Word of God, I lived the Word of God, what's next? I applied the Word of God, I lived the Word of God, this happened, praise the Lord. He began, as he meditates, he joined the dots. I heard God's word, he helped me, he blessed me. I heard God's word, he helped me, he blessed me. I heard God's word, he helped me, he blessed me. Can we be a church, can we be a people who join the dots of the faithfulness, of the goodness, of the love of Almighty God? Can we be a church that recognizes as I hear and apply and live God's word, it's going to do me good? It's going to enable me to be blessed, to be a blessing. It's going to enable me to know that fresh revelation of the love of God. It's going to enable me to remember how much God loves me and that Jesus died for me, but Jesus didn't stay dead, but he's alive. It's going to remind me that the Holy Spirit is going to help me in life, and here's how he's going to help me. He's going to help me be avoiding sin. He's going to help me carry in the kingdom of God. Here's a man who said, your word said that I believed that I did it, and this happened. And his faith was built. God's truth in action in our everyday. I want to challenge you to try it this week. Hear it or read it. Fill your life and surround your life with the Word of God, sermons, and singing scripture, declaring scripture, and applying it into your life and saying, okay, what does this mean for me in my everyday? What needs to stay and what needs to go? And then what can I do to live it and help other people? And I want to tell you, as you do it, you will experience the sugar rush of Scripture. You know that moment when, boom, the sugar rush hits you? And it may be that half a dozen sugars that you put in your tea or your coffee. It may be that bar of Galaxy that you treat yourself to on a Sunday night. Not me, no, not me. Somebody else I knew. You know that moment where the sugar rush comes? Two bar, thank you. I'll receive that double blessing, Bill. You know, that moment when the sugar rush of Scripture, and the psalmist, he didn't have Tate and Lyle, or he didn't have other bags of sugar that he could be applying, but the closest that he could get to, the best he could say is, verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste. They're sweeter than honey that's in my mouth. Honey was the sweetest thing that they could enjoy. It brought fullness, it brought healing, great medicinal benefits then and now. You know, but the most thing he got from it was, when I taste that honey, there's a sugar rush of sweetness that I don't always get. And he wants to say, your word, meditating on your word, thinking on your word, living your word, applying your word, bang, it's like a sugar rush of Scripture into my situation. How sweet it is. You see, that brings it back to the whole thing of how much he delights. That it's a love thing. It's not a legislation, it's not a legalism, it's a love thing. I said it last week doing my best Kevin and Perry impersonation. It's, oh God, I've got to do that. You know, you drag your feet towards the Word of God and towards the pathway that God wants you to be walking in. It's like, I'm a really teenager, kind of don't like that, but God says I've got to do it, so therefore I better do it. Because I love Him. Because, more importantly, because I know that He loves me. That He's a good Father. He's got good things in store for me. As I walk in His ways, it might not be the easiest way, but I tell you, it's going to be the best way because it's His way. I wonder, what do you delight in? That was an opportunity for some of you guys and to grab the hand and squeeze gently the hand of your loved one there, but you missed it. You'll probably suffer for it now. You know, what do you delight in? What are the things that make you come alive? What are the things that makes the blood rush in your veins? I wonder, could the Word of God stir such emotions? But more importantly, could the God of the Word stir such emotions in you? That you would be able to say, how sweet are your words to my taste? Sweeter than honey to my mouth, because I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every long path. It's not because, you know, the therefore is important. Because of the sweetness of who God is. Because of the sweetness of His Word, therefore it's easy to say, I hate you, wrong path. And it's maybe not even so much that He hates the wrong path, it's He loves the path that's illuminated in the Word of God. Can we love the path that He illuminates? The Word of God is going to give you the upper hand. The Word of God is going to help you with some low-level lighting wherever your feet needs to go. It's going to help you wherever you are. What will you do with this Word, though? It's where my responsibility beyond me actually stops. This week, what will you do? Will you read it? Will you listen to it? Will you apply it? Will you live it? Will you praise Him? I hope you do. Let's pray. The worship team could come and join us. In a few moments, our time will be over. We'll be out into our week and enjoying the rest of our Sunday. But in these moments, there's an opportunity for us to make some declarations, some commitments, and some pledges to the Lord, to enter into covenant with Him. In these moments, there's a time for us to say, Lord, I've loved that evil path rather than loving Your Word. Maybe it's a time of saying, Lord, I haven't really meditated, focused, and thought, or applied, and lived Your Word. But I want to do that now. I'm choosing Your way, Lord. So as we come to pray, I would like to invite you to maybe pray your own prayer to the Lord. In a little second, I'll leave a few moments of silence just for you to quietly bring your life before the Lord. And I want to tell you right now, you are at a crossroads because you've heard this Word. And you are at a crossroads because when the Word of God comes, you have to do something with it. You either say yes to it and make it your goal and your pledge, your promise before the Lord to live it, or you say, nah, not doing that. And by default, you're no longer in the Word of God. So I wonder, what will it be today? Only you know your heart, only you know your desire, but I wonder, would you pray a prayer over your life right now as a result of hearing that Word? That might be your private pledge to the Lord. Your commitment before heaven of who you're going to be. What you're going to do as a result of being in God's house today. Father, I pray for every person who has heard this message this morning. Whether it's in this room, whether it's via the live stream, the broadcast, whether it will be on a catch-up later on in the week, Lord, I pray for every single person who's heard this word. Father, I pray that we would choose you, your love, your word, and your ways. Father, I thank you there's only one way, but it's the best way to come to you, and that's in the name of Jesus and through the power of his shed blood. And Father, I pray that we would live your ways. Father, I pray that we would live forgiven and we would live in the joy of your love. But Lord, would you help us, please, to build in that discipline and that devotion of wanting to spend time with you and get to know you through your word. Lord, make us fall in love with you even more through your word. Often our intentions are there, but it breaks down through the busyness and the stuff and the priorities that we put on other things other than you. Lord, help us to make you number one, to meditate, to think, and to focus on your word. Help us to apply it, Lord. Help us to live it. Father, I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Oh.